I would like to thank my co-author, Yu Yi, who works with me on almost everything that I do. Nothing to disclose. Okay, we're shifting gears here, just slightly looking at the association of alcohol and other drug use with health services utilization from 1995 to 2010. And the literature shows mixed findings. Sometimes no relationship is found, or minimal positive relationships, U-shaped relationships. But it does seem that when one is looking at outpatient services utilization, primary care and emergency department utilization, that there does seem to be a higher utilization among heavy problem drinkers than among others. The Healthy People Objectives 2010 called for a reduction in alcohol and drug-related ED visits. However, interestingly, the Healthy People Objectives for 2020 have dropped this. So, perhaps they have been achieved, and we will soon see. The other problem is, as you probably know, there's no real surveillance system to track these things. So while one may have these unhealthy objectives, how does one even know if they're happening? The closest thing that we have is the DAWN system that you're probably familiar with, tracking drugs in emergency departments, but we all know that's less than perfect. They have what's supposed to be a random sample of EDs. The way they draw their data is from clinical records, and alcohol only shows up if it's in conjunction with other drugs, so we really don't have anything to track alcohol on its own. So the purpose of this study then was to update trends in alcohol and drug-related emergency department and primary care visits over the last 15 years. And Tom has already gone into the details of our survey, so I don't need to dwell on that. Our measures, we combine injury and illness together, and we ask all the respondents whether or not they had an injury or illness in the last year for which they even thought about getting treatment, regardless of whether they actually got treatment or not. And then if they did get treatment, we found out if they went to an emergency department, primary care, or some other kind of treatment. We obtained data on the most recent injury or illness for a couple of reasons. One is that if a person had been seen multiple times in the last year for different injuries and illnesses, it could get very complex in trying to sort the data out. Secondly, we thought that if we restrict it to the most recent visit, it wouldn't have any systematic bias, and that the recall would probably be better for these respondents. And then in terms of whether or not the visit was alcohol or drug-related, we had a measure that we've used in many other studies in emergency departments, self-reported alcohol consumption or drug use within 6 hours prior to the event. With illness, you might wonder how they can sort of figure that out. With an injury, it's pretty obvious, before and after injury. With illness, it's described as at the point that they realize he really needed to seek some treatment. So it could have been something that was sort of creeping up, but at the point they really realized this was a major thing that they maybe needed to see someone for, that was sort of the point at which 6 hours before that was considered alcohol or drug related. And then, of course, demographic characteristics. We use a Mantel-Hansel chi-square test for significant linear trends in utilization. And then we use logistic regression to examine the predictive value of the year of survey, and we control then for demographics and also for health services coverage, which obviously is an important variable to consider when one's looking at utilization. So this shows the trends for emergency department and primary care treatment and then no treatment. And this is for only alcohol-related injury or illness visits. So you can see that over this span of time, ED visits have a significant linear trend. However, for primary care visits that are alcohol-related, there really is no trend, nor is there for those kinds of injury or illnesses that were alcohol-related that the patient or the respondent decided that they did not need treatment or at least didn't go. This is the same data for drug-related injury or illnesses. And here you can see that there's no difference in emergency department or primary care visits across this span of time. However, interestingly, for those who did not get treatment, it seems that there is a little bit of increase in drug-related. visits. So perhaps it's not that these drug-related visits or these drug episodes are not happening, it's just that the respondent is not seeking treatment anywhere, in which case they wouldn't show up in the statistics that healthy people wanted to sort of prevent. Okay, this is a logistic regression, and this is for both alcohol and drug-related ED visits. And here you can see that for alcohol-related ED visits, between our baseline 1995 and 2010, that respondents were over twice as likely to have alcohol-related visits. And with drug-related ED visits, you can see that at each point compared to 1995, there was an increase in drug-related visits. However, in 2010, it actually increased even back to 2000. And so it looks like that there's a reverse trend almost in the drug-related ED visits. And here's the same data for primary care visits. You see nothing's going on in primary care in terms of the likelihood over this span of time. So then, in summary, we did see a significant upward trend in alcohol-related ED visits, but not in primary care visits. And there was no significant trend found for drug-related ED or primary care visits. The likelihood of an alcohol-related ED visit more than doubled between 1995 and 2010. And while, as I mentioned, drug-related ED visits also increased, it appears that they are declining and dropped by half, actually, between 2005 and 2010. And with a logistic regression, you could see that these cannot be explained by demographic characteristics or health services coverage or health insurance. And the prevalence of substance-related primary care visits appeared to remain stable over the 15-year period, so not much is going on there. So there are some, maybe not limitations, but things that one should really consider in looking at these data. One is that the prevalence of alcohol and drug-related injury and illnesses was much, much smaller in these data than what one finds when one does emergency room studies. And those ranges for alcohol are 8 to 35% are alcohol-related for injury and 7 to 16% for illness visits in the U.S. And so we're really underestimating the prevalence, and it could be due to a number of things. One is that we are not doing an event-based study here. We're doing an individual-based. So if an individual may have had a number of alcohol and drug-related ED visits during the last year, we're only getting one of these. So the prevalence would obviously be smaller than when one's doing ED studies, because you can't have repeat people coming into the ED, and indeed we in our ED studies found that, you know, people coming in for a visit were likely to show up in the not-too-distant future for another alcohol or drug-related ED visit. And we found in ED studies, compared to the general population, that the in the ED sample, the more frequent users of ED showed up, and also they tended to be heavier drinkers. And those in the general population were less frequent users. And that sort of makes sense, because in an ED sample, the ones who show up more are going to be the ones that fall into the sample rather than the less frequent users. So that sort of speaks for itself. Also, we did not consider classes of drugs. I think this is really important. We put them all together, and in subsequent analysis in the future, when we have more trend data, it will be interesting to look at least the classes that we would expect large proportions of the population, for example, marijuana, and also cocaine is on the increase. So it may have increased, utilization may have increased for some classes of drugs and not others. The other really important thing is prescription drug use was not considered. And so services utilization may have actually increased for prescription drug use. And indeed, there's a very recent concern over sort of the epidemic of prescription drug misuse. And so I would suspect if someone looked at those data, and we only looked at illegal drugs pretty much. So if someone looked at prescription drugs that people were using, I think you would probably find a definite increase in probably primary care use too, but ER care also. So I think these data underscore the opportunity provided by the ED for screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment for alcohol anyway. And the data suggests that healthy people 2010 objectives were not reached for reduction in alcohol-related ED visits. And so since they are not in 2020, it seems like it might be a good thing to put them back into 2020, since it seems to be increasing rather than even staying stable. So thank you.
Since Cheryl was so efficient, there is some time for questions for this, for Cheryl, and potentially for the whole trend series. Please.
For the last presentation, so you mentioned you didn't study the specific classes of the drug because you don't have, you have limited sample sizes, because you have like a seems like less than 100 milliliters.
Yeah, by the time you get down to looking at alcohol or drug-related ED visits or primary care, you're really getting down to relatively small numbers. Or, you know, it's one thing. Well, you don't have huge numbers of people saying they've been to the ED in the last year in general population samples, which is why we go to the ED to look at associations of alcohol and injuries or illnesses showing up in EDs. But then when you further restrict it by whether or not someone had alcohol or drugs in the 6 hours preceding that, and whether they even remember that they did, you're getting down to smaller numbers. And so when you start dividing into classes of drugs, it really, even for all drugs combined, you know, we could have used larger ends, and we will have them later, new surveys. Yes? That's excellent, excellent data. Our definition was much more liberal than that, as you noted, just use within 6 hours, which actually may or may not really have any causative value. We've also asked questions about whether or not the patient, I'm sorry, I usually do ED studies, so these respondents are really not patients, whether the respondent thought that their alcohol or drug use actually was a causative factor in the reason going to the ER or primary care. And again, the numbers just drop, you know, considerably. Although a lot of people, it may have been a causative factor and they really don't want to own up to it also. So it's hard to know, but certainly those data that you said are available would be an excellent way of tracking. Yeah.
Over the past 10 years, a lot of the smaller emergency rooms have closed, and I'm wondering if, for your EDs, that they've had more visits generally, and whether you thought of adjusting your data not to look at the total raw number of visits, but also sort of standardize it by the number of visits, if that is true that visits larger EDs have increased.
You mean with these data? Because
I'm not sure. I guess I wasn't clear about this. Is your sample drawn from sort of larger EDs?
No. The data that I presented was part of our national alcohol survey. So these are, in 95 was person to person, and then telephone survey. So it's the same data set that everybody else has presented. So we just ask these people living out in houses all over the country, whether or not they had an injury or illness during the last year for which they even thought about getting treatment, whether or not they actually did get treatment. So I think what you're suggesting might be good for ED-based studies, but for this study, and we yeah, I think not, because we don't even know where these people are going.
The other issue I just wanted your thoughts was about the issue of the increasing use of prescription. You mentioned limitation. Prescriptions, particularly opioids and benzodiazepines, both of which could, you know, interact with alcohol and lead to more alcohol-related problems that are actually confounded by the presence of more prescription drug abuse, particularly in those two classes. Do you have any sort of thoughts about that?
I don't, other than in ED studies I've done where we're actually looking at risk of injury from alcohol alone, drug use alone, and the combination. We find that drug use alone was not very predictive of an injury. Alcohol use was. Alcohol combined with drugs didn't make that much more difference, and the difference actually was that people who use alcohol alone drank fewer drinks prior to the event than people who also use drugs with the alcohol. And so it looks like that difference is more driven by the number of drinks. But again, those analyses were not done by classes of drugs either. And I think the class of drug really makes a huge difference in this kind of research.
We have a question over here. Another one over there. Let's go here first.
Great talk. My question has a little bit more with the policy implications and how you think about it. Like, obviously, one goal would be probably help people reduce the number of alcohol, or the amount of alcohol they drink, so they end up with less injuries. But maybe another policy implication could be let's increase the number of people who use primary care instead of going to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
Would you comment on your?
I think that's a great idea. I think that people are with urgent care now, which is a little bit different. I mean, it's combined with primary care, but when there are facilities available for people on a sort of an urgent basis, that they are using these facilities more than the actual emergency room. The emergency room is really overburdened with people who don't really have emergencies. It's just that there's no other place to go in the middle of the night, and they're either frightened or something's going on, and so they end up there. But certainly educating people and having more resources available at other times so that the emergency department can devote themselves to true emergencies, I think it's a wonderful idea. I think we have a ways to go before we achieve these kinds of things.
Over there.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the most recent episode. I wondered if they had a time frame for that. Do you have the range and know some sense of equipment time frame?
Yeah, we did. We just asked during the last year. And then if they said yes, we said, well, not thinking about the most recent injury or illness. So we don't really know how recent the most recent one was. Yeah.
Norman.
Thank you. I have a comment. These are excellent presentations, but they're very depressing. Because the overall conclusion is things are getting worse. Consumption is going up, water quality is going up, dependence is going up, ED emissions, yep, according to your study, going up. So my prediction is things will get worse before they get better.
We'll keep doing trend studies and we keep reporting back.
Perhaps I can comment on the pessimistic view. Compared to the 1980s, we have made some progress, but it is on the way up in terms of consumption and exceeding limits and so forth. I guess one of the questions that we talk about a lot in relation to particularly Bill's work in the age period cohort studies is, are there some subgroups that are moving into the future in a way that is likely to bring with that initiation, past initiation, more burden of problems? The baby boom group is one that has been discussed quite a bit, and there seemed to be some evidence from Lorraine's talk that that's something to pay attention to. But there are also the younger groups and the question of whether they will age out or continue to have heavy drinking. It's clearly something that we need to continue to study over time. And I think, Norman, you yourself have commented on the fact that the most effective policies are some of those that are harder to find political traction for, and we have to redouble our efforts, I think, in those directions. And I think you're right that the overall picture is one that is some basis for concern. One thing I wanted to say before we do end, and we maybe still have a little bit of time for questions, is this data series is actually in the public domain. Up until the present, that is the latest one, which is 2010, which will be put in the public domain fairly soon, but all of the earlier ones through to 2005, that is from 1979 onward, are actually available through the Alcohol Epidemiological ADS, Alcohol, there you go. I know the acronym, but not the title. But it's an NIAAA contractor through CSR Incorporated. And so for those of you who are interested in looking at these data yourselves and looking at the possibilities, I would encourage you definitely to look into this. And of course, you can also correspond with us, and we can probably also do collaborative studies because, of course, we're more familiar with the data series. So please, if you're interested in this area, definitely contact us. And I did put out quite a few of the presentations on the table over there, but I see they're gone. And also there's a list of recent publications from our group, which may also be gone. There might still be some left. I'll put some more out there at the very end. And a way to contact us if you want either these presentations. And Linda Fraser, do you want to say something about the program? I don't know if people heard that, but there is a program that gives all the presentations and poster sessions for the ATOD section, which we encourage you to join, and it's available over there too. So it's a very handy guide for those of you who are interested in these topics. I think we have sort of come pretty much to the end. Thank you very much for